ओम ज्ञानतिमनन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. ओम आदित्याय च सोमाय मंगलाय बुधाय च गुरुशुक्रशनिभ्यश्च राहवे केतवे नमः. ओम श्रीगणेशाय नमः. हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे. Welcome. I had an awakening when I was 19, and I began my studies in my practice of yoga meditation. And began to read Eastern philosophy. And I figured if I'm going to get into this, I'm going to learn Sanskrit, so I know exactly what I'm reading. So I made that my goal. I lived 5 years in an ashram, practicing yoga and meditation, from the ages of 23 to 28. I became a Sanskrit editor. I edited many, many books on behalf of my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Those classical Sanskrit texts are in every major library in the world, every major university library in the world. It was a very high level of scholarship, not mine, his. So I've more or less gone on from there. When I learned Sanskrit, I learned that you could sangskaras. Sangskaras are sacred ceremonies, kind of like sacraments in Christianity, by which they're purificatory ceremonies to cleanse the imprints on the mind, on the psyche, from so many lifetimes. And also to attract higher souls into the womb, if you want to conceive. And there are rituals and mantras that go with that. But then you have to know when to do it. You have to do it at the most auspicious astrological time. So I had to learn Vedic astrology. I had no choice. Vedic astrology is also known as Jyotish, as most of you know. Jyotish means the science of light. Vedic astrology is a divine science. How long has it been extant? Since the beginning of creation. Because the planets can affect us through electromagnetism, which they can. We are electromagnetic beings, right? We have an electromagnetic field. The planets have an electromagnetic field. It is through this scientific system of electromagnetism that the planets affect us physiologically, emotionally, psychologically, karmically, ultimately, spiritually. So that's how it works. We know that the moon affects the tides and the menstrual cycle in women. We know that the sun affects the planting seasons in various climates. Those are simple examples. So, how legitimate is astrology? Well, let's see. Who used it? Vedic India, the Chinese, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Persians, and the Arabs, to name a few. But many people in this day and age think, oh, it's just all nonsense. That silly stuff, astrology, that you read in the newspaper when you read your horoscope. What, all these civilizations miss the point? I don't think so. This civilization has drawn its influences, its government, its sociology, its political systems from many of these civilizations I've just outlined for you. Yes or no? So, what is the value and use of astrology? People sometimes joke, well, when I arrived, they didn't give me a manual when I came in. Well, the manual is there, but it's an esoteric manual. It's not readily readable or readily understandable by the average person. We have to go deeper in order to understand it. Not only did you get a manual, you got a schedule. For what? For how your karma will unfold throughout your lifetime. Vedic astrology. Do they have that in Western astrology? No. They don't. I've been doing Vedic astrology, Jyotish, now for 42 years. I have clients from 52 countries around the world. I've been traveled extensively. So, what do we learn? We learn our karmic lessons from the birth chart. What are we here to do? I know many people will tell me, I'm here to enjoy. Yeah. That's not the main thing you're here to do. That you do kind of on the side. Why are you here? To grow. To evolve. To learn lessons. As we learn lessons, we improve. We grow. We evolve. But it's a choice. Free will is always the active ingredient. You can choose to learn your lesson or not. Right? Let's take an example. One, your girlfriend's, she's dating so-and-so. And your little group of girls, oh my God. What is she doing with him? Can she not see it? No. You know what's going to happen. Does it happen? Oh, yeah. It happens. We knew that was going to happen. And over time, she recovers. And then she introduces you to a new gentleman. And the girlfriends go, oh, dear. It's the same guy. No, it's a different guy. Different face. But it may as well be the same guy. Same dynamic. She hasn't learned yet. Right? You know this story, don't you? Some of you have been the star in this story. Somebody's pointing to herself there. We have to learn. Astrology will show you very clearly your strengths, your weaknesses, your karmic lessons. How many times have you heard, we play to our strengths, or play to your strengths, correct? Who's ever said to you, I think you should play to your weaknesses? That's absurd, right? Yet many of us ignore our strengths and play to our weaknesses. Right? Sometimes we don't know what our strengths are, and sometimes we're too afraid to embrace them. Astrology will show you what those strengths and weaknesses are very clearly. And underlying all that is, what is the lesson involved? We can have planets that are very strong and dynamic, which will represent your strengths. When I say strong and dynamic, I mean the way they're placed by sign and by house and by aspect in your birth chart. We should play to those strengths. And then we can have weak planets or afflicted planets also. So if you tell somebody that,
they go, oh no, don't tell me that.
Some people do. That's the most important part. Because within that lies your greatest achievement if you learn that lesson and overcome it. Overcome that challenge. Then, what can stop you? Then you raise those weaknesses up. You transform them. That's what you do. That's what you learn and how to do it. Sometimes I finish speaking to somebody and the person will say, wow, that was great. I mean, you just told me all these wonderful things. But you didn't tell me anything negative. I said, well, I told you this and this and this. Those are all negative. Well, they didn't feel negative.
Exactly.
They didn't feel negative because it depends on how you look at them. It depends on your perspective. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? It's really important how the information is delivered. You can empower somebody and point out a flaw simultaneously if you know how to speak in the right way, which will empower them and not create anger or a reaction, negative reaction, right? It's very important how information is delivered. So that too has to be there. There are three kinds of karma. Prarabdha, from the past. Everybody knows what karma is. Action. Every action we perform generates a reaction. Your astrology chart in this lifetime is a map of your karma based on all the things you did in the previous lifetime. That's what it is. So, prarabdha karma means you came in as a woman, you came in as a man, you're from India, you're from Russia, you're from England, wherever you're from. We can't change that. Can't be changed. Then we have present karma, sanchitta karma. This, to me, is the most important one. Because this is how you think. This is how you're programmed. This is how you're conditioned. Since when? Well, I can say easily since you came out of the womb, even maybe when you were in the womb. Yeah. I've had clients who have told me, my mother was so unhappy that she got pregnant with me. And she kept wishing while I was in her womb that I would abort. Now, that energy poured into that fetus, you see, that too can have an effect. Yeah? What to speak of once we come out of the womb and we get influenced by our parents, educational system, culture. Make your list. So many things. People around us. All right. So we can isolate or point out what those imprints are. and how you see things, what the lesson is. For example, I can see very easily when looking at a glance at a birth chart, if somebody, I'll say to them, do you want to tell me about the complications at your birth when you came out of the womb? There were no complications. Most people don't know because it hasn't been mentioned. The ones who've had complications. I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure there was. Well, I don't know. I'd have to ask my mom. Yeah, okay, reasonably. Because the ones who have had complications coming out of the womb, there is an imprint that comes from that psychologically, and that imprint is life is a struggle. Life is difficult. And I say, so do you have this as your belief? Life's a struggle? Yeah. And do you still believe that now that you're 36? Yeah. Okay, so maybe we should deal with that, don't you think? Things like that are obvious. Sometimes in relationships, which most people find very important, you can see, because in Vedic astrology, you can read many charts, but as a standard for me, I read the birth chart, the main chart, horoscope, the moon chart, Chandra Lagna, and the Navamsha chart, the ninth part harmonic chart. And with all three of those, you can see all kinds of stuff. It may be often in one chart that the marriage indication in, let's say, in the main chart is difficult / negative. Then you look at the moon chart and the marriage influence is very positive. Right? So that's a contradiction. So what does that mean? What's it going to be? Well, I can assure you the first thing it's going to be is the negative one. You're going to attract that negative guy. Why? Because in that lies the lesson. You need to learn that lesson first. Supposing, ladies, some of you have attracted immature men. There are plenty out there. This is not a man. This is a boy in a man's body. Right? What was I thinking? Now, unless and until that dawns on you somehow or other and you learn that lesson, we won't get the good karma, the Jupiter in the seventh house, in your moon chart, which means Mr. Wonderful will come into your life and you'll have the best marriage ever. Maybe sent by God, heaven sent. And you're wondering, how come I don't have what I feel I should have? Because you first have to learn that lesson. That's how it works. I talked to a lovely girl one time, came to see me, and I said, so what do you do? What's your education? She says, well, right now I'm working in sales for a newspaper. I'm looking at her chart. She's got the weakest Mercury. You know, that's sales and marketing. What's this girl doing in sales? She's got exalted Venus. So she's brilliant. She's as creative as can be. I said, but what was your education? Oh, I have a degree in visual art and design. Oh, yeah, you do. And what are you doing? Selling advertising for a newspaper. Well, I couldn't get in with visual art, but they let me in for selling advertising. And I said, how good are you at it? Not very. I said, don't worry. We just got a few more months. Because you're in a K2 period. K2, many of you have never heard of, is one of the 9 planets that is used in Jyotish. Rahu and Ketu are shadow planets, directly opposite each other. Rahu's the north node of the moon, Ketu's south node. And they're of the opposites. How do you say that? Polar. The what?
Polarity.
Yeah, the polarity of the opposites. But
it's one the head and the other the body.
One's the head and one's the tail. Exactly true. Exactly true. So she was in a K2 period, which of course she's selling advertising, which has nothing whatsoever to do with who she is, right? And I says, just wait. In whenever it was, in March, you will be in a Venus period. Then you will go into design. The timing's not right. It's timing. What do we say? Timing is
everything.
Well, who came up with that statement? You all know it. Well, where are you going to find out what the timing is? In your birth chart. It shows all your time. How accurate is it? My experience is, if we have an accurate birth time, around 90-95% can be. So you're doing the right thing at the wrong time. So then we just have to be patient, right? Winter's coming. No matter how much you don't like the cold, winter's coming. And it's not going to get warm before March, at least. So what do? Well, you put on a warmer coat and we resign ourselves to the fact that winter's coming. That's all. That's what we do. Isn't it? So we find out our strengths and weaknesses. What's your life purpose? Why are you here? Are you taking up space? Are you hanging around waiting for something to happen? Waiting for something to click? Do you know what you should be doing? Are you doing it? How many here know what their life purpose is? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Pretty good. It's pretty good. How many would love to know what their life purpose is? The remainder. Astrology, I'm not saying we can nail it exactly, but we can show you through your strengths what your purpose may be and at least narrow it down. We're all here for a reason. This is not a haphazard event. Oh, you fell out of the womb one day and here I am. You know? No, it's not like that. There's meaning, there's purpose behind it. And it needs to be discovered. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the only way to discover it is through astrology, because it isn't. You know, I got into spirituality, as mentioned, since I was 19. And my spiritual purpose was real clear to me by the time I was 21. Crystal clear. It hasn't changed. I'll be 70 next year.
Ooh. Ooh. Right. It's amazing.
So that was clear to me. But what about my purpose as a person in this lifetime down here on Earth? Guess where we are? We're on Earth. We got a physical body here. This is the field of action. Right? The kshetra. So we want to discover our purpose. When I was 33, and I started doing astrology when I was 27, when I was 33, I figured out what my purpose was. So did I just automatically start to do it then? No, I didn't. It's not always that easy. You got bills to pay. You got mouths to feed. You got this. You got that. We got jobs we have to go to. And some of them we really don't want to go. But we have to be practical. No criticism. I didn't actually start doing my purpose full time. I did it bits and pieces. But full time till I was 39, 40. Oh, the proverbial late bloomer. You know how many people are late bloomers? Oh, a lot. A lot. Is that a problem? No. In Vedic astrology, we use a life cycle of 120 years. If only you live that long. 120 years divided into three phases generally. Birth to 40, youth. 40 to 80, middle age. 80 to 120, old age. We don't even entertain the idea of old age before the age of 80. Friends. See, this is my program here. Okay? So a late bloomer is what? You don't peak in the first 40 years. You grow. You grow. You evolve. You learn. If you look back in your life, I don't care what you've done, and we've all done all kinds of things, some of which we wish we didn't have to do, okay? In hindsight, you learned from every single thing you did. There was something you took away in value, yes or no?
Yes.
And if there wasn't, then I don't know what you were thinking. There wasn't at the time, perhaps, but in hindsight. So, it's very common to hit your stride or realize your potential between 40 and 80. It's not uncommon. Some of you will realize it. How do you know whether you did it? You feel it. You feel it inside. You feel this energy. You feel this power. You feel this potential, and you know you haven't realized it yet. Yeah, I did this, yeah, that was good, but I know I could do more if given the opportunity, right? So, let's unlock that door, my friends. Astrology can help you with that. It's not the only way, okay? But it can help you. I should tell you this quick little story about K2. Now, I don't want you to think, I don't want to give K2 a bad rap here. But you can be in a, see, the way the planets work in the planetary periods is they all get a turn to affect you. So a Venus period is 20 years in length. If you have a really strong Venus in your chart, well, you are going to be doing very well in your Venus period and probably going to be very happy, largely. A K2 period is 7 years. A Sun period is 6 years. A Moon period is 10 years. A Mars period is 7 years. A Rahu period is 18 years. A Saturn period is 19 years. Okay, so it all depends on where the planet is in your chart. Mm-hmm. K2 and Rahu could also mean mass tragedies. In some cases, no, I don't want to program you by saying that, okay. Just want to tell you a story. So, when they had the tsunami in Southeast Asia, 2004, Stephen's Day, Boxing Day, right? Remember? Well, subsequently, I met three people who were in the tsunami. Three of them. One was running a hotel in, I can't remember where now, Thailand or somewhere around there. Another lady she too was owned a hotel in a similar resort area. And then I met this Irish guy who was renting a cabin, or not a cabin, a hut on the beach with his buddies, right on the waterfront. So when the tsunami came, the Irish boys, who were nursing a hangover, guy came out to relieve himself, looked out of the water and thought, what is that? That doesn't look right. And he saw this huge wave way off in the distance coming. He came back into the hut, woke his mates up and said, I think we better pick up our sleeping bags and stuff, or clothing, off the floor, because there's a wave coming, and put it up on the bed. Well, that's reasonable. Well, when the wave hit, it shot two of them out the back window of the hut. And this gentleman that I spoke to rode his mattress amidst the debris on top of the water 2 miles inland and survived. The lady who owned the hotel, she and her husband owned the hotel, was completely destroyed. And when I met her in Thailand, she was managing a different hotel. The other gentleman, who also worked at a hotel when I was in Thailand, at the time, he was managing huge resort hotel. He was up on the fourth floor, looking out at the sea, watching the wave come in. And 50 of his employees who were in the rooms, etc., down below, were wiped out. He watched them. They died. So why am I telling you this dramatic story? All three of these people were in a K2 period in their birth charts when that happened. It doesn't mean that if you're in a K2 period in your birth chart that that will happen to you. It has to be placed in a certain way, but it means a mass tragedy. Yep. Anyway, that's an example. Okay. Does anybody want to know the difference between Vedic and Western? It's kind of a technical explanation. I don't want to bore you with that.
The moon and the sun.
The moon and the sun. Yeah, that's one way to see it. Vedic astrology is sidereal. It's based on the stars. I don't know if I should tell you this because it is a bit dense, but on or about March 21st or 22nd each year is the vernal equinox. Equal day, equal night, first day of spring. Yes. Mm-hmm. And supposedly this is when the sun enters 0 degrees of Aries, the first sign of the zodiac, in the Western zodiac. Now, what happens is the Earth spins on its axis, but it has a slight wobble, and that's called nutation. And due to this wobble, this equinoctial point goes backwards 50 seconds each year. 50 seconds. Degrees, minutes, seconds. 50 seconds. Well, when we're dealing with astronomy, these things are important, right? So each year, the equinoctial point. So if this is 0 degrees of Aries, if you go back this way, you're into the previous sign, which is?
Pisces.
Like this, okay? Now we're way back, 24 minus, we are like 24 degrees precessed now. Huh? And there's 30 degrees in a sign. So when it goes six more degrees, what sign will it be in from Pisces? The age of? Where do you think it comes from? That's where it comes from. When will that happen? 2446 will be the year. 2446. So why does it work like that? Because in Vedic astrology, we line the signs, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, up to the fixed stars, the constellations. That's the backdrop. The constellations in relation to each other always stay in the same place, same distance, right? So when 0 degrees of Ashvani, the first constellation, marks 0 degrees Aries. So then when you look up the sky, you'll see, oh, well, that's gone that way. It's gone this way. And that's how it goes. That's how we arrive at it. So you may think you're a Leo. In Vedic, you may be a Cancer. You may be the sign you think you are, but often if you aren't, you're the one before that. When I first started doing Vedic astrology, I lived most of my life in Los Angeles. And back then, I actually used to go to people's houses. I don't know what I was thinking. But I learned. And astrology in California is quite popular. Yeah. These things are very popular. And I was there, you know, for the 60s. So I'd say, and hand them their chart and the printout. What do you mean I'm a Gemini? I've been a Cancer all my life. I mean, people would get angry with me before I said anything. So I learned, put the pages under here, read the chart for an hour, and I'd say, okay, I'm done. Wow. That was the most accurate chart reading I ever had. Really? Oh. Okay. And then I present them what their chart pages. So they could see, that's where you got this? I said, yeah, you're actually this and you're this and this is from that and that's from that. Anyway, those are the experiences I had back then. Also in Vedic astrology, we use remedial methods. Some of you here practice yoga, I'm sure. How many of you are familiar with Ayurveda? A lot. So this all comes from the same source, my friends. Yoga, Ayurveda, Vedic astrology, Vastu. You know Vastu? The science of sacred architecture, spatial relationships. From Vastu, we get feng shui. Feng shui is not as old as Vastu. Feng shui has a system called the Nine Mansions. That's Vastu. Okay, it all comes from there. It's the oldest culture, the deepest. I've studied all kinds of stuff. I haven't found anything that comes close. So, we can use mantra to pacify the planets. We may say, oh, you have a weak planet, you have an afflicted planet. What am I going to do? Well, you can chant mantra. Many people that I talk to, you know, I talk to lots of people that are into yoga and Ayurveda, but there's lots of people that aren't. So I don't give them mantras. It wouldn't mean much for them. And they won't chant them. But mantra is the best, and mantra is most effective. But we're talking about a lot of mantras. You know, you'd have to chant a lot. Like, we can give you a mantra, but you'd have to chant it 23,000 times, for example. You know? Depending which planet it is, to alleviate the difficulty. Another thing you can do is wear gemstones, planetary gemstones. Gemstones, if they're really good quality and they're gemstone quality, beautifully cut and prepared, then they too will have an effect, a positive effect for you. You can also get around it by giving charity, specific kinds of charity that you can do on certain days to pacify the planet. And you can also do fasting. And other areas are relationship compatibility. Relationship compatibility in Vedic astrology is quite effective. I've been doing relationship compatibility for, I don't know, 35 years. The vast majority of people that get married or go into a committed relationship, I'll just make this simple, out of the seven major planets, Sun, Moon, Venus, most important planets for relationship. Sun, Moon, Venus. Sun, because that's your basic nature. That's how you're wired. That's how you interact with the world. Moon, heart, mind, emotions. In relationship, we must form an emotional bond. Huh? Why? Because how do we enter into love? A loving, reciprocal relationship without an emotional bond. How? It's easy to be in relationship when times are good. But what about when times get difficult? When one of you is suffering, will you be there for your loved one? Do you want to be there when they're suffering? Because only love is going to keep you there. Maybe duty. But duty, when you feel resentful, not so good. Yeah. So moon is emotional bond. And what do we want in relationships? We want to get our needs met. That's another thing I can mention. And well, let me just finish before I digress. Venus, obviously, Venus is what? Venus is the planet of
love.
That's right. So we all know what Venus represents. So that's your male-female polarity. Anyway, going back to Moon, I'll say to somebody, I'll look at the chart and I'll say, in childhood, your emotional needs were not met because the Moon is weak or the Moon is afflicted. Moon is also mother. The mother's job is to meet the emotional needs of the child. The father's job is to instill in the child a sense of himself or herself, a belief in themselves, to go out into the world with confidence and make their mark. That's the father's job, traditionally. So when I see the moon, I say, your emotional needs were not met in your childhood. It's not to say your mother does not love you. It's that she was, you know, busy with this, that, the other. Who knows? Lots of kids, had a career, single mother. There's lots of reasons, right? And therefore, your emotional needs were not met. So you formed another belief system. Here we go with the belief system. That, of course, unconsciously, like every belief system, my friends, you don't even know you have it half the time. And the belief goes something like this. Well, you know, I don't get my needs met. Some people do. I don't. But that's okay. I can get by. It's not that important to me. And, you know, maybe I don't deserve to have my needs met. I'll just carry on. When you have that belief, you grow into adulthood, and what do we look for? A relationship. Chances are, you just ask them. I ask them all the time. So, you're in a relationship? Yes. I've been married for how long? 20 years. Okay, very good. Have you had your emotional needs met in your relationship? No. No. Is that a surprise? No. Not at all. That's the program. That's the imprint.
That's the what?
The program. What they had in childhood. They're attracting what they know. Nowadays, what's very common, as we know, is codependency. Codependency. Codependent relationships. But I wasn't going to go in that direction. Anyway, so back to the compatibility. So, Sun, Moon, Venus, most important. Then the rest of the planets. Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury. Most people who go into relationship, a committed relationship or marriage, have three or four planets compatible out of seven. I've seen it countless times. Which is more or less your 50-50. No? That's, if you can find somebody with whom you've got five planets compatible, pretty rare, but it's great if you can do it. But mostly, it's three or four. That doesn't mean they can't have a good relationship, by the way. Many of them do. Okay. So, relationship compatibility, I'll tell you what it's really good at. You know, sometimes people ask me to do that for them when they've been married for 20 years, and I'm scratching my head and going, why do you want that? But when they tell me, I just met this person, and I'm thinking of going into relationship. Will you do the compatibility for me? And then, yeah, we do it. It's better if you do the compatibility with one person than both of them, to be honest. So then you're free. You, meaning me, are free to speak more directly. So then they'll know what they're more or less coming up against. It's usually pretty accurate. And then also something that's relatively new that appeared in the 90s is astrocartography mapping to determine best places where your strongest planets are. You get planetary lines on the globe based on your birth information. So there are certain places that you will function more powerfully, favorably, some that are moderate or neutral, and some that are best avoided. So that also is available. This is a japa mala. Everybody know what that is? Chanting beads. That's chanting beads. This bead here with the decoration is called the head bead. You see it? Or the god bead. That's the main one. When you chant like this, with the middle finger and the thumb of the right hand. You chant your mantra, and then you go to the next one, and so on. All the way around, mantra on each one, yeah? And then you come all the way around, and as you approach the god bead again, you don't cross it. You turn around and you go back. You don't cross over the god bead. This is traditional, correct?
Yes.
And you go back the other way. Okay? We think this lifetime is so important.
You what?
We think this lifetime is so important. Is it? Among how many? Compared to what? Which lifetime? You remember? There's a lifetime right there. Right there. That's this one. And then there's the next one. And then there's the next one. And there's the next one. You think this one's really important? You think you have to do it all in this lifetime? What? I want to have a baby. I can't have a baby. Okay. You had babies in lots of lifetimes. You can have them again in the next lifetime. What's the problem? What's your hurry? Maybe that's not your path in this lifetime. Maybe that's why you can't have it, for example. We can't do everything in every lifetime. Take a look at it. Take a look at the perspective. Huh? Lifetime after lifetime. How many do you get? How many do you want? There's no limit. At the time of death, if you have one material desire, what is a material desire? Connected to matter. The body, life down in the material world, or anything connected to it. Oh, I just want to do so-and-so. All right, I want to see her again. Okay, give him a body. He's back. One desire, you'll be back. You get a body. All the way around, thousands of lifetimes. Till when? Till we hit the God bead. God, I hope that comes soon. Because that's when we get off the wheel of repeated birth and death. That's the realization. That sets the soul free. So when do you think you might want to get there, my friends? Can we see that in the chart too? Oh yes. We can. We can see how much consciousness and awareness you have in this lifetime based on what you did in previous lifetimes. And if you are a soul who's been around for numerous lifetimes, so-called old soul, that will show up in your birth chart. And you will either be up and running with a higher consciousness when you come out of the womb, or you will develop it over time, or you will have an awakening, an epiphany.
Is that what happened to you?
What was I thinking? That's what happened to me.
Yeah, because you were an old soul and then you had it when you were young. Mm-hmm. This lifetime.
Yeah.
You probably had lots of problems.
Indeed. What was your question?
No, my question was, in the birth charts, can we see about the other...
We can also see...
You've just answered it.
We can also see some past life influences. It depends on who's reading the chart for you. Sometimes people say, well, I saw this astrologer... Confirmed. I saw this astrologer, they told me this, this, and that. Is it true? That's one thing I never want to do, is sit there and comment on somebody else. But, well, it might be true, you know. What you can see often, you can see if it's your last life. I can see that.
K2, isn't it?
No, not necessarily. Well, that's one. You see, there's many examples. K2 and the 12th would be something that would incline toward that. But it's usually a connection between the 9th house and the 12th house. 9th house is dharma, yeah, or spirituality, and 12th house is moksha, or liberation. Mm-hmm. Moksha, liberated from repeated birth and death. You know? So if there's a connection between those two planets... You're knocking on the door. You're almost out of here.
So how much is this book chart reading then cost? I want it now.
I will be here for the remainder of the week. So I do have a few spaces left. I can go on and on and on. You just got to stop me. Anyway, what I was saying is that you have an evolved or unevolved. So an evolved Sun in Leo would be somebody who's very magnanimous and a generous leader and somebody who would be an inspiration for others. An unevolved one would be arrogant, self-involved, selfish, and talk down to people, think himself superior. So you have to figure that out. You can just say, Sun in Leo is this. This is a person here that you're dealing with.
Whether they chose to learn the lessons or not learn the lessons, contribute to a
better. When you start with astrology, probably like anything else, it's like having a list of ingredients. When you're going to bake a cake, on the page is a whole list of ingredients. It's not a cake. And you go, okay, a teaspoon of vanilla, 2 cups of flour, et cetera, right? But when you've done it long enough, so therefore, in astrology, a person would say, well, moon in the 12th house means this, sun in Cancer means that, et cetera, et cetera. But after a while, the chart, you look at the chart, it just jumps off the page at you. There's the person. And you don't think, you know that stuff, but that's not what it is. There's this person sitting here. And it comes in kind of in a holistic manner. David.
Going back to the mantras, the gemstones, and linking that with what you said, the very start, where the electromagnetic fields and our auras and then the planets. Is that how the gemstones and the mantras work?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The planets are connected to the spectrum. Law of sevens. Universal law of sevens. You know it?
Not
yes, you do. How many notes in the scale?
Seven.
How many colors in the spectrum?
Seven.
How many days in the week?
Seven.
How many major planets?
Seven.
How many chakras?
Seven.
How are we doing so far?
Seven.
How many seas? How many wonders of the world?
And our cells, do they change completely every 7 years?
Yeah.
How many years of cell change?
Yeah.
And my birthday was 7/7. Yeah, so law of sevens, okay? Sun, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah? Now look at the colors. Spectrum, sun, red, moon, orange. Orange is the new black, you know. And Mars,
yellow.
Mercury,
green.
Jupiter,
blue.
Venus, indigo. Saturn, violet. So, yeah, that's the gemstones. Planets are given their colors, not this lady. I'm sorry, I forgot your first name.
Caroline.
Was pointing out. Those are their colors that you mentioned, but they also have spectral colors, and the spectral colors are what I just mentioned for you. Okay? So when you wear a gemstone for the sun, that happens to be a red stone, obviously, like ruby. It's actually not a ruby, it's a pink tourmaline, but it will, under a spectrograph, would give off a red aura. And this stone, this is Mars stone, red coral. And under a spectrograph, that would give off yellow. You see? So, in terms of colors, you've got red, orange, yellow, what are sometimes called the hot colors. You've got green in the middle, the perfect balance. And then you've got the cold colors, blue, indigo, violet, here. What color are all the trees and the plants? Tell me.
Green.
Green, I wonder why. It's the perfect balance of all the colors. It is the most soothing of them all. That's why everything's green. Good idea. Well done. We all like green. We go to the green. Don't we go to the green in this country? The green, the park.
Actually, there's a day workshop with Drew. It's actually taking place just around the corner from here at a place, a lovely venue. It's from 10 till 5 on guided healing meditations, which Drew's going to guide us through. There'll be an Ayurvedic lunch. We'll have lunch tomorrow as well. But we'll have, so doing the sessions with Drew throughout the day, morning and afternoon. If you feel like you might want to come and join that, then we do still have a few spaces. Have a chat with David in the corner over here. and we might be able to work something out. So there's some flyers you might see around the place. But we should probably close if there aren't any more questions, because Drew has got to save Ojas, the mojo for tomorrow.
The Ojas. The Shakti.
The Shakti. He is also here all week doing chart readings. So
I'm here doing chart readings all week, yes.
Maybe just some things to have a little mull over. Are there any more questions?
Tilly.
Can you get in contact with Drew? Drew Laurent, Drew Dave.
Yeah. There's cards.
I got the card.
There's cards there. If you want to make an appointment while I'm here, we can do it. Okay? Before you leave, we'll figure out a time for you. So we can also do that. Or you can just send me an email.
Okay.
It's in the card. Okay, my friends, thank you for your kind attention.
Well, it's really easy. It's like, what still gets you most excited? You've been doing this for X months.
I never get bored.
Just that. You just never get bored.
Because everybody is different. It's totally unique. Now, you'll see some of the same planetary positions, but not in those combinations, and not with their backgrounds, and not with those kinds of experiences. So each one is, I mean, I get excited. I calculate, check, oh, wow. I can't wait to talk to this person. You know, I get excited.
Lovely.
Not only because it's strong and the planets are good, also because of the challenges that are there. And I'm wondering if they have realized them yet. You know, how can we help this person maximize their potential? How can we remove the obstacles? That excites me. Yeah, I've had my palms red. Yeah.
What do you think?
It's not about Vedic astrology or palmistry or samudraka or facial, you know.
Facial reading.
It's about who's doing it.
Who's reading that, you mean?
Yeah.
Who's reading it?
We know tarot works, but depends who's doing it. You have to get somebody who knows what they're doing. Otherwise, just because they say they do such and such, so what? You know, you can go get your shoes fixed someplace and they'll do a terrible job. Or you'll go to the best shoemaker in town. And, you know, for example, or get your car fixed.
Tapping into the higher wisdom, it's like,
yeah, you got to have the right person.
Out the way to let it
but it's
through.
Also, you have been in quite all the wrong places.
When you go to
a time.
When you go to a yoga class, you will benefit most by when you go to a yoga class from somebody with whom you have a resonance and you like the way they present and speak and teach, and you will do the best in that class, will you not?
Yeah.
So it depends who's doing it for you. That's why my answer is
whoever resonates and speaks.
Yeah,
and you spoke to us very well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you all as well.
Thank you.
And no, it's been a real pleasure.